episode 817, My Strength is My Story with Kim Cash Tate. Cling.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy, happy day. I am so excited. Today is My Strength is My Story series, and you are going to hear from an incredible author. Her name is Kim Cash Tate. I actually met her on Periscope. We are going to talk a lot about everything, intimacy being one of them. Oh, yes, you're going to want to dive deep with us today. For those of you who are brand new, maybe you already know Kim, welcome to the family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. And you are going to be impacted today. Your heart is going to be on fire. Your soul is going to be filled with joy. Kim Cash Tate brings her voice to us in her brand new book, Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God. I promise you there are blessed nuggets wrapped up in this entire coffee chat today. So get your pen and paper ready. And if not, you know, all the links will be in the show notes for your convenience. You can also go to createyournow.com. So without further ado, let's listen in on our coffee chat with Kim Cash Tate, Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. I am so delighted to have with us on our series, My Strength is My Story, Kim Cash Tate. She is an incredible woman. She's a wife of 24 years and a mother to two beautiful children. She received her law degree from George Washington University. Upon leaving her law career, she focused on becoming a women's ministry leader along with writing. Imagine that. She wanted to be an author. Kim has authored now 9 books. One of her newest books is a Christian novel, Though I Stumble. You will love this read. And the one we're going to chat about today is all about intimacy. Do I have your attention yet? Oh, I bet you I do. It's called Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God. I don't see what better subject to talk about, Kim, than this. Come on in, friend, sister in Christ. I'm so excited that you're here.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, you are most welcome. Well, let's just jump in because I know you are, you're really experienced at this. But I just want to ask a basic question, and that is, what in the world got you started into writing?
Wow. And believe it or not, my first book was published in 1999. So talk about feeling a little bit old. But I was on maternity leave with my son and who is my firstborn. Uh-huh. And I really felt that stirring in my heart to do something else. I was practicing as an attorney and I knew how hectic my schedule was. I was a litigator, so I worked evenings, weekends, and so while I was on maternity leave, I just had this stirring in my heart, like, should I be doing something else? And I'm thinking home-based business. So I start praying about what I can do for a home-based business. And I'm going through all this. And then I just really felt God speak to my heart that he wanted me to write a book. And so my first book was about my own spiritual journey. And that's really how I got on that path. I had to figure out, I didn't know how to write a book. And that was before Google and internet in all those days.
Yes.
So I just kept going to Barnes and Noble, finding books about how to write a book. And so I wrote my proposal and got an agent. And so I started that whole path in 1997 and then got a contract for my first book and it was published in 1999. So that's how I got started long ago.
Long ago.
It seems like yesterday, but then when I think 99, yes.
Yeah, anything after or previous to 2000, it just kind of makes you feel like you're ancient, right? We're dinosaurs. I know.
If there's a 9, 19.
That's right. Yes. Oh, well, that's awesome because I know a lot of people have this dream within them to write. Yes. They want to be an author. And you didn't really start with that dream, but God put it within you. And how amazing that you followed through and now you have published and authored 9 books. Incredible.
It really is an interesting journey because many people do first have the dream to write and then begin to go down that path. It really was very different with me, even with the fiction. Mm-hmm. After my first book came out, which was a memoir, my agent said to me, well, you should think about writing fiction because just from the way that book was written. And I said, oh no, that's not something I could see myself doing. And I just, it was never a dream. And so as I was, my kids were toddlers and I left my law career and I was at home with them. And I always thought I would do more nonfiction, if anything, after that first book was published, because my heart was Bible study. And so I was really, during that time when they were toddlers and I was home, I had left the law firm. I really was digging deeply into studying the Word of God. And so I thought, this is my heart. And I would teach people and things like that. And so a few years, maybe 2 or 3 years later, this story just came into my head about a woman who, you know, doesn't know who she is in Christ, and she needs to know because of her background and all the. And I'm like, what? And I literally had to pray, like, Lord, are you serious? Are you calling me to write a novel? Really? So it's funny how He has worked with me on this writing path, that it was never a dream in the beginning, and it was not a dream to write fiction, but just the Lord putting it in my head. Oh. So it's really amazing to think back about that and how that happened.
What a blessing. And now you've written, is Cling your first actual Bible study?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, you all will definitely want to pick up a copy of Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God. The link's in the show notes for you because it is a great book. As you can tell, I have totally tabbed it all up. I've highlighted the heck out of it. It is awesome. It is a great read. And it's a good resource too, Kim, because, you know, if someone is one who, especially if they're new to Christ, and as a new Christian, and the Bible can be kind of overwhelming, honestly.
Yes.
There's a lot of words in there that even still to this day, I can't pronounce, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, or you hear 2,000 or 3,000 different pronunciations of them, and it's like, Exodus is where? Or, you know, where did Revelation end up? It doesn't make sense sometimes going through it. So how you wrote this out personally, I love it because you can have, if you want to be that deep thinker, man, you can have that Bible right next to you, and you can dig, and you can read extra chapters and follow right along. But if you want something that's right here in your hand, this is awesome. You don't have to have your Bible right there next to you.
That's good to know. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, I love it. And you also have a DVD.
Yes, there's a DVD. There's a study guide in the back of the book. And so the study guide will say, watch this segment on the DVD, read chapters 1 and 2 and answer these questions kind of thing. So the DVDs have 6 segments that are average. They average about 10 minutes each.
Okay.
So not very long.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, I think, because I did go through the study guide and I highlighted questions. They're great deep thinkers, and it would be great. You know, we have a lot of online kind of book clubs nowadays.
Yes.
This would be a great addition to anybody who wants to, because you've broken it up into, I think, a 6-week study, correct?
Yes. That's correct.
So they could use it as that even online.
Yes.
And you can even break it up into 12 weeks if you wanted to.
Yes.
With all the questions. I love it. I mean, this is, I'm just telling you, it's jam-packed. I love it, Kim. I really do.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we got to dive deeper into this.
Okay.
So you came up with this title, Cling. Mm-hmm. Where'd that come from?
Cling, that one word title. Well, I talked about those days when my kids were younger and I was enjoying Bible study. I would get my coffee while they were taking a nap. And I just started going through the Bible because I was doing inductive study for the first time. Before, I would read my Bible, but then I wanted to go deeper and study. So I had my colored pencils and all of that, while they were taking a nap. And I just started in Genesis, and I was going through the Bible. And when I got to Deuteronomy, I studied from the New American Standard, and that's where that word cling is. Some translations say hold fast or something like that. But in the NASB, it says cling. And so I got to this in Deuteronomy 10:20 and Deuteronomy 13:4, where Moses is telling the people of Israel what God expects of them. And so it says, keep his commandments, follow him, serve him, and cling to him. And I remember studying that and just being rocked by that word, because I thought we'd expect God to say, keep my commandments. We'd expect him to say, follow me, serve me, all those things we'd expect. But cling to him, it was so different from those other verbs, in the verse, and it was so intimate and personal. And so I just started meditating on that, and it actually became a prayer for years. Just, Lord, help me to cling to you. And I would often say that's my favorite word in the Bible, cling. It was just something about the word. And it's funny because readers now tell me, as they're reading my older books from maybe 2010, 11, I had cling in those stories. Like a character would say something about the need to cling to God. That's how much it was on my heart. Wow. And I forgot it was in those novels, but that it just had become a part of me. Uh-huh. And so, so that's, years long. And then about a couple of years ago, my agent was talking to me about writing a book, and he said, I think you should, because he was looking at some of my YouTube videos, and he said, you have some great teaching videos out here on YouTube. You should think about writing a book. Have you thought about that nonfiction book? And so I said, well, actually, I thought that's what I would be doing all along. fiction was the surprise. So he said, well, you should pray about it. So I did. And I said, well, what would I write about, Lord? I'm praying, and cling is what came to mind. And I thought, how do I write a whole book on that one word? But I knew that's the word. That was my word. That was one of my favorite words. So it was an interesting process of praying that through, and how do I make this into an entire book? And so I just love the journey of writing with the Lord, because he's always revealing things to me as I write. I just love the journey. So it was one that was really eye-opening for me as well.
I love hearing your heart, Kim, because oddly enough, we met through technology. You and I didn't know each other except through Periscope.
Yeah.
And so that was my way of how I found you. And still, even to this day, I mean, you just have this joy about you. And I can see why God would put cling on your heart. And after reading, the book, it makes so much sense, that choosing this lifestyle, that God wants us there. He wants that relationship with us.
Yes. Yes, he really does. And that's what impressed me about the word, too, that this is an invitation from God to be glued to him. And in that way, it's just amazing. It is. It's really, it's such an invitation and a privilege to be able to walk that closely with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then both you and I are mothers. And so you think about cling, how a child clings to their mother or clings to their father.
Yes.
There's something about holding on to, hold fast.
Yes.
I love that connection, and it's just beautiful. So I got a question for you.
Okay.
Define for me cling in your life.
What it looks like?
Yeah, what it looks like.
Okay, that's a good question. So in my life, I would say I cling I still do inductive study, because you can't cling to God apart from clinging to his word, because you have to know God through his word. So I still do inductive study. I started that almost 17 years ago. And so that's still my daily thing that I have to do. That's my highlight of the day, is just to have my coffee. And this, I don't have toddlers anymore.
Yes.
My oldest is in college now, and I'm still sitting here with my coffee in my Bible. And so I cling by spending that time. I just love opening up the Bible and just seeing what God has to say through his word. And also, a big part of my clinging is just talking to God throughout the day, no matter what I'm doing. I mean, I might have a concentrated time of prayer in the morning or something like that, but just throughout the day, just rolling conversations. I could be washing the dishes. I could be driving, vacuuming, just like, but Lord, did you hear what, you know, just reacting to things and, well, what should I do about that? And, but I got this and this going on and how am I going to manage that? And I'm really stressed about X, Y, and Z. And I just need your grace, Lord. What am I going to do? So I'm just always talking to him. And so that's a big part of my clinging, is that talking. And I also like to memorize scripture. So when I'm on the treadmill, I'm often doing that and clinging that way. So I just have all this. I like to be filled with the word through study, memorization, and I like to have an ongoing conversation with God. Mm-hmm. And then when those times inevitably come, when you're thrown in the midst of some challenge, hardship, that's when I really, actively pray, Lord, help me to cling to you because this is hard and I don't know what to do. And that's when I really sense his presence in helping me to cling to him in the midst of whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That paints a great picture for those who are listening to understand, I mean, really what the cling is and what it means to you, you know, from the author's perspective.
Because
I know for me, you know, we talked about Periscope earlier, and I can remember you would sometimes do your Periscope times after a workout.
Yes.
For me, my workout is when I'm lifting or I'm doing something, I'm like, dude, what are you doing this for? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I get really real with God is when I'm working out.
Yeah.
But that's how you cling, right? I mean, you do what works for you.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of it. And the way I cling will be different from the way you cling and the next person, because we all have our individual relationships with God. And that's why when I prayed, Lord, help me to cling to you, he showed me how to cling to him, and he'll show you how to cling to him. Of course, it'll still involve his word. It'll still involve prayer, but it's not going to look the same in all of our lives, and I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. When you said you were doing your study, and the first chapter you talked about was Created to Cling, I think was the name of the first chapter.
Yes.
And you talk about in the beginning. Can you highlight that just a little bit?
Yes, I thought it was really important to go back to the beginning to say we were actually created to cling to God. Because often when you think about intimacy with God, we have this notion of I'm trying to get to God. I'm trying to take these steps and I hope God receives me if I'm good enough or if I'm spiritual enough, you know, but, you know, I'm trying to get to him. And I wanted people to know and understand that, no, he already created us for this. That's, you know, when back in the garden, that's what Adam and Eve had with God. When the Godhead said, let us make man in our image, and they had created the moon and the stars and the sea, and it was very distant, you know, let there be light, let there be stars in the sky, let there be animals, and then it was let us make man. And just even those words bring an intimacy, and we were created, the only thing created for a relationship. And so, you know, so he created us that way. And even before we were created, the fact that he had us in mind, chosen before the foundation of the world, all these things he put in place for us to cling to him, to be intimate with him. And so I just love that it's not that I'm trying to get to God and hoping he'll receive me and that I can somehow, you know, I hope I can be intimate with God. No, he's already put it in place. Amen. Because he wants us to be intimate with him. He already knows us intimately and he wants us to get to know him intimately. That's why we were created. So that's why I wanted to go back to the beginning.
That's so beautiful. That's what I love about it, because you give it a foundation that it wasn't just like pie in the sky. I'm just grabbing something out of the air. Like, okay, I like this word cling. I found it in a few verses and that makes sense, you know, but there was reason. I mean, and God did. And I think when we begin to really allow our minds to go there and to think, I usually say our heavenly thought, or I think in your book, you refer to it as the eternal thoughts. And if we think along God's line of things, trying to allow our brain to get there, because sometimes our pea brains just do not want to get there, you know, our earthly logic just messes it
up. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Know that we are created as a relationship with Him, that He already loves us.
Yes.
I mean, that's like more than goosebumps and awe.
I know.
It's fascinating to me.
It's fascinating to me too. Mm. It really blows your mind. And then it just makes you want to praise Him, because you think, wow, Almighty God, the creator of the heavens. And, you know, He actually wants me to be in relationship with Him. It boggles the mind.
Yeah.
And that's why He sent His Son to us. That's why He sent Jesus. That was for relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because He didn't have to do that.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
and that was, of course, the second chapter, you know, how that relationship was broken in the garden through sin, and then how we were recreated through Christ to cling to Him again. And I, in the book, I talk about how abide in the New Testament is sort of, in my mind, the counterpart to cling, when Jesus says, abide in me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And you'll definitely want to pick up your own copy of Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God. We will have the links in the show notes for you. It is an amazing read. We cannot cover all of it in here. And if nothing else, you're going to want this as a reference. Man, I was highlighting, and, you know, I became a Christian at the age of 5. That doesn't mean I know it all by any means. But I look at this and I'm going, oh, yeah, that's where that verse is. Because as much as you hear it, sometimes you kind of forget, well, where did it fall into, you know? And I think it's important for us as Christians to continue that learning process, like you had mentioned before.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that never gets old. I love that the Word of God never gets old. You can read a verse 50 times, and that 51st time, the Lord can make it fresh and make it apply in that season in your life.
Talk about magic. It's beyond magic.
That's right.
Oh, I love it. All right. So let's get into intimacy, because I kind of tease that a little bit, because everybody's ears go up being like, intimacy, we're talking intimacy. What kind of intimacy?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So let's go ahead and talk about intimacy. So when you're choosing a lifestyle of intimacy with God, define that for us.
Well, I think what that means is that every day we have a choice of whether we're going to pursue that close relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you can go through the day, you know, because we know we all have 100 things to do in a day. There's never a shortage of things to do, right? Especially
Amen.
If you have kids or whatever, going to work. And most of us are overwhelmed. Nobody's twiddling their thumbs and saying, I have nothing to do today. So we all have full plates these days. And yet, if we're desiring, if we're believers and we say we want a close relationship with God, we have to choose that lifestyle of intimacy. We have to make a choice. Am I going to spend time with God today? Am I going to open the Bible? Am I going to talk to God? Because we wouldn't think about, if you're married, going through the day and not talking to your spouse. That would not work very well for very long. You have to talk to your spouse. And so, and we know that in a relationship, even if we're married, mm-hmm. how did you get to the point where you're intimate with your spouse? It came from those conversations with him, getting to know him or her. Mm-hmm. It came from spending that time. And so it's the same with God, that you have to choose that lifestyle of intimacy. You have to choose to spend time with God through His Word, choose to talk to Him. And again, not something formal. We're not talking about prayer at a certain hour and with a certain posture. And we're talking about just that, right? Just going about your day and talking to God. And reacting and just praising and thanking him and all those things. And so, but he becomes a conscious part of the day. So that's what I mean by choosing a lifestyle of intimacy, where you're conscious of God. He's in your thoughts. He's in your day. And you know, I shouldn't wake up and say, when was the last time I talked to the Lord? I don't even know what day that was, because then there, where's the intimacy in that?
Very good point. And I love that you said that it's a part of your conscious day.
Yes.
Because that means we have that choice.
Yes.
And that's important that we make that choice, because God could force it on us, right? He's God.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But he doesn't want that. He wants us to willingly come to him. Where we make that choice. And sometimes that's a hard decision. I mean, you know, if you're eating healthy, is it the apple or is it the candy bar? Which do you choose?
Yeah. Yes. And often what happens is that's when those trials come into our lives and we run to the Lord then because we know we can't do anything about that. And so he becomes really conscious then, right?
Right.
Because like, help, Lord. And he should. But then when things are going well, it always reminds me of again, in Deuteronomy, when he said, when you go into the promised land and you're going to be blessed with all these wonderful things and you're going to prosper, don't forget the Lord. Because when things are going well, we tend to, like, I don't really need God right now. Everything's going pretty well, but he should be a conscious part of those days as well. It should be a lifestyle so that and when things are going well, that's when you're thanking him and praising him and just, again, talking to him about your day and your plans. And there's never a shortage of things to talk to God about. Never a shortage. And he wants to hear it. That's amazing to me that he wants to hear even the little things on our heart. It doesn't have to be the big, big things, the big, big decisions, the big plans and the challenges, and when our hearts are breaking, it can be the little things. He actually cares about the little things going on in our lives.
I've actually asked him a couple times, hey, what should I fix for dinner?
Yes, I have too, all the time, actually, because I'm not a big dinner planner. And so it might be 5 o'clock. Lord, what am I cooking tonight?
Can you help me cook it faster?
Yes.
Yeah, strike that bird with lightning so it's ready in 45 minutes. Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, and I do think, Kim, that is so important, because you're talking about it being a lifestyle. You know, the buzz stuff out there is mindfulness. The buzz stuff out there is being healthy and wellness and well-being, all these things that we like to throw around. Who knows what it'll be in 2 to 5 years? You know, what will the buzzwords be? And with technology, we never know. It could change at a drop of a hat. But lifestyle, that's a commitment.
Yes.
And I think that's key, because when we are talking about our Heavenly Father, it's a commitment to him to say, I want you to be a part of my life when I'm sweaty, when I'm stinky, when I'm really made up and I'm going out on the town, when I'm just laying around eating donuts.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Yeah. I love that. It's got to be a lifestyle, and it's so beautiful. So how can one begin to start to become intimate with God? Because some people I know, I mean, you got the ones that go to church on Sundays and they forget him the rest of the 6 days. Or they may go to church on the major holidays, and their thought is, okay, I'm going to do good, and if I do good and I volunteer and I, you know, maybe I donate because I swore this much and I'm going to give this much money because I said curse words or whatever the thing is. I mean, there's crazy things out there.
Yes.
But how can one become intimate? Because I think for some people, this might be kind of a shocker to them. They're like, wait, I want a relationship. I've heard that. I've kind of heard it. My pastor preach about it. But how do I start that?
That's a good question. And of course, like you said, everybody's at a different point. But I think no matter where you are, it always should start with talking to God, because you can ask God. So even as you're wanting to build that intimacy, you can ask God, how can I build that intimacy with you? And it seems weird because he's the one you want the intimacy with, and yet he's the one who helps us get to that point of intimacy. So it's not that we're trying to get to God. It's not that we're trying to do our part in God's way over there. He actually helps us get to him. Mm. So when I began praying, Lord, help me to cling to you, yeah, I'm inviting him to show me what to do. How do I do this? And so no matter where you are with your relationship with God, you can go to him and say, Lord, I want to have an intimate relationship with you. And thank you that that's even possible. Mm. How do I do that? Show me how that looks in my life and day to day. What can I build into my day that would build that intimacy? How can I get time in your word? Show me how to just feel natural about conversations with you. Because I think some people do see prayer as more formal and not as just talking to God. And so even just asking the Lord, and then you'll find that as you ask the Lord these questions, you're talking to him right then. And so ask him the questions that are on your heart, and you're already starting to build that intimacy. Mm-hmm. And then you might be in the middle of your day and you might be walking to your car in a parking lot and something rises in your heart and you send it up to God. I'm like, that's God putting it on your heart to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And so even just recognizing where God is moving in your life, mm-hmm, helps to build intimacy. Because again, we're talking about being conscious of God. Yeah. So being conscious of God is not even just us talking to God, but it's becoming aware of how he speaks to us, mm-hmm, and how he leads and guides us. And so if you're praying and asking God about intimacy, and then you see something in your day where something's rising up in your heart that you want to share with God, that's God putting him on your heart. And so that's him drawing you. And then that generates excitement, because you're thinking, oh, wow, he really does. He just put that in my heart. I didn't even, you know, that had to be God. And so it just builds from there. So talk to God, ask him to show you how to build that intimate relationship, how to cling to him. And then if, when it comes to the Bible, like you said, sometimes that can be scary and people don't know where to start. And that's another question to ask God. That's how I got involved in studying the Bible deeply, because I asked the Lord, because I had changed churches, and both of my prior church had some things that were different doctrine-wise from my current church, and I just did not understand, and I was so confused. And I said, Lord, I just want to know the truth. I want to know the truth for myself. I don't want to depend on what somebody else says that the Bible says. I want to know for myself what it says. And he led me to a book about inductive study, and that's how I started studying. And so, and then I noticed that as I began to read the Bible, I didn't know the Lord until I was 27. It's not like I've grown up in church and I know so much and I had so much experience. I had not opened a Bible to read it until I was 27. So if I can come to an understanding of the Bible, you know, I'm not saying I understand it all. I'm just saying if I can read the Bible and know that the Lord is speaking to me through the Bible, anybody can, because I didn't grow up with this. It's just the Lord teaching us his word. And so he does that. He will meet us as we're reading his word. Mm-hmm. So it's not as mysterious as we might think intimacy with God is. It's not this woo far away. It's really just talking to him and trusting him that if I open his Bible and these are living words, these are actually living words, that he's going to help me understand them, not all at one time, but over the course of time, he's going to help me understand what the Bible says, because that's how I get to know him and I want to know him. So he's going to reveal himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that is so beautiful, Kim. And I think too, it's when you are conscious of it, you're aware of it, then you begin to see all those God winks where you're, yes, like, Whoa, yes. How did that happen? And then, yes. then it's even more freaky because you're like, what what have I been missing this whole time? I don't know. It freaks me out when those happen. I'm just like, whoa, did the earth move or something? But it feels that way in your heart. You know, when you know it's him, it really just does. And I do think, because some people I know listening are like, oh gosh, Christiane, Kim, you guys are so far out there. I just don't understand. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. But when you start, like you said, simplistically, and you just start mm-hmm. talking to him, mm-hmm. he'll start showing you, and you begin to make those connections because honestly, like you said, we're busy. Yes. We're overwhelmed on a daily basis.
Yes.
And so we're missing a lot out. I mean, we're totally missing out on what God wants to show us if we're not looking.
Yes. Very true. Very true. And, you know, again, I think it's all about priority. Mm. So many of us will say we want a close relationship with God. But then if you look at your calendar for the day, you're like, where are you building in God?
Yeah. Where is he?
When we make him a priority, and even doing that, he then will order our lives so that it's not so crazy all the time. You know, he'll show us what to do in our day to be productive. He'll bless our productivity. It's just so many things that God does for us, because clinging to God does result in blessings from God. It just does. He will bless you as you cling to him. That's just the nature of God. You know, of course, we're already blessed as believers, but you'll just becoming more aware of him, as we're saying, and incorporating him throughout the day and acknowledging him, you'll just see little encouragements and blessings, because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to delight in him.
Yeah.
And it's just an awesome way to live.
It is an awesome way to live, and we need to delight more in him mm-hmm. overall, because we don't. Yes. In fact, we tend to hide when things are good. We just kind mm-hmm. of go about our own little thing, and we're like, mm-hmm. oh, well, things are great. We don't have to worry about it. But, man, when a struggle or challenge hits, or we got a trouble happening, what do? When we're not of our own strength to be able mm-hmm. to handle it, we mm-hmm. run, and we're like, Lord, I'll do anything for you.
Yes.
You know, I'll go to church the next day. I mean, you hear those kind of weird stories, you know?
Yes.
But you can't give ultimatums to God.
That's right. That's right.
It'd be nice if you could, but he doesn't work that way.
Right.
Because he wants to be a part of us. I mean, he wants a relationship. Like, you and I have a relationship. We're chilling here. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. God's chilling with us right now.
Exactly.
I'm not sure what tea or coffee he's drinking. You know, I'm not sure what his type is, but I'll serve him whatever he wants.
Yes, yes.
Oh, well, that's awesome. You all will want to pick up a copy of your own book called Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God. Kim Cash Tate does an amazing job putting this all together for you. And really ask some deep questions in the study guide. So maybe you're one who's a little shy. You're afraid kind of to ask some questions about God. That's okay. I was kind of like that growing up, and especially in school, I didn't want to raise my hand for fear I would ask the wrong question. I know everybody tells you there's never a wrong question. But, you know, in your study guide, you can go through that yourself, and you can read it, and you can journal it even, and you can go as deep as you want to go. So thank you so much, Kim, for that. There's just so many options within your brand new book, Cling.
Yes. And I'm glad about that. And like you said, you can do it individually. You can do it in a group. Mm-hmm. Or both. So, yeah, and I know some people just want to go slowly through it. So there's the 6-week option with the DVD, but certainly you can just take your time and go through the book and chew on it as you go. And mm-hmm. So, yes, very, very many options.
Yes. Yeah. And it goes deep. I mean, you can take it as deep as you want to. So, mm-hmm. you know, we may have some scholars listening. Well, I would not ever claim to be a scholar, but, you know, I think everybody can learn. And can always dive deeper, because there's always a new twist. And when we mm-hmm. get a new perspective, you know, God put this on your heart for a reason. That's why you wrote it. You didn't write it just mm-hmm. because you wanted another title, you know,
right.
another published book. Because I'm sure you have a few others laying around that you could have published instead. mm-hmm. But, you know, God said, no, you got to cling. It's all about me and intimacy.
Yes.
What do you think is one of the most challenging things when it comes to creating a lifestyle of intimacy?
One of the most challenging things. probably when challenging times come. Mm-hmm. Even though that often moves us to cling to God, it can also cause you to question God or wonder, well, I thought I was clinging to you, so why is this coming into my life? Because we can sometimes think, if I keep doing X, Y, and Z, then no trials will come my way and everything will be rosy. And so I think anytime, because it's a trial for a reason, it usually knocks you flat and you didn't see it coming and it's hard. And so that's always a challenging part of clinging to God. That's when you need God most, but it's also when you have all these questions and why is this happening, Lord? And why are you allowing this? And so I would say that's the most challenging part, but yet that's where that closeness is forged. In my experience, when I've gone through those really, really tough times, that's probably when I've learned to cling the most.
Could you give us an example of that, so people kind of have an idea as to like what it would look like when they're going through a challenging time?
I think just that's when prayer life increases for me. That's when I might be in tears, just crying out to God. I might not even have the words. I'm just weeping and just knowing that he's listening and he understands. But he is my go-to. So when I'm dealing with something emotionally, I never pick up the phone and call anybody. I just go to God. Mm-hmm. He is literally my go-to. That he's the one that I'll just go somewhere quiet, sit down and just cry or whatever I'm going through. And I just might be talking to him through that. Like, I don't understand and why and blah, 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 blah. But I'm talking to God and I know he's there. I know he's listening. So that's what it looks like for me. He just being my go-to person where, you know, Jesus says he's our friend and that means something. He actually wants to be a friend to us, where someone we can talk to, run to, we know he'll understand. And in that he's ministering to us. And so even though that situation has not changed in the few minutes that you've spent with the Lord, you'll get up and the situation's still hard. It's still there, but all of a sudden you feel lighter and there's a peace, and because you've spent time with God and he strengthens us and he ministers to us. So clinging to God replenishes us and restores our soul.
Yes. Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. And we need a lot more replenishing. There's a lot of things out there nowadays that are stealing our joy.
Yes.
They're distractions, and the enemy, Satan, he likes to come in and he uses that.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, look at social media now. I love social media. I mean, I found you. That's social media. So
yes.
There's a big benefit to that, but there's also a downplay, because as women, comparison is a very big issue for women, and it's becoming a bigger issue now. I mean, self-esteem, even as we go down into our college girls and our teen girls, and now it's going all the way, because you got elementary kids carrying around cell phones. And, you know, I mean, it blows my mind. I mean, I know there's a reason sometimes, and I'm not to judge what they're doing, but what I'm saying is that with the comparison, those distractions, we begin to sit here and the enemy plays on that.
Oh, yes.
You know, and so what better to pull us away? And you talk about in your book about the wedge.
The wedge of disobedience.
Yes. Yeah. It can lead to that over time with how we lead our lives. So talk a little bit about how a wedge can be formed within our own lives.
Well, a wedge is anything that causes us to stray from God. We can think of the big sins, like I talk about David and Bathsheba in the book. So they're the big sins that just can cause your heart to stray from God. But it can be, like you said, if you use a social media example, and I'm not talking about sins that you repent of and move on, because you can just keep clinging, but just it's unrepentant sin. Social media can generate sins of envy, like you were talking about, you're looking at every day, you're scrolling and you're looking at people's timelines and, you know, you're discontent with your own life, envious of somebody else's life. And that can go on for weeks, months, where just you're just building up this discontent. Why is my life this way? Or why is my ministry even? Why is my ministry not being blessed? Why don't I have this number of followers? Why don't I? Every day, because our esteem is tied to likes, followers, all of that. And so if you go that, and so then you're going weeks and months that way, you're putting a wedge between you and your relationship with God, because you're not content with what God has given you or me. We're not content with that. And we're looking at other people's lives and how he's blessing their lives. And we feel that somehow God has robbed us and he's shorting us of what we deserve. And these are, it's a sin to be discontent, to be envious and all these. And so, but we've grown so accustomed to that because of social media that it can actually affect our relationship with God.
And when it affects our intimacy with God, it also eventually will affect our intimacy within our earthly relationships, our marriage, our children, our extended family, even our friends.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, the both are true. If we have a strong, intimate relationship with God, that's going to spill over into our other relationships. It always starts with the vertical, us and God, and then it goes to the horizontal. So however that vertical relationship is going to affect the horizontal, whether positively or negatively. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've got to watch out for those wedges, because at the same time, you also talk about dreams and callings and gifts, and to the point sometimes that where God can give us a gift, he can lavish us with something that we want. I mean, look at you. You're an author of 9 books. That's incredible. That's amazing. Yet you're not sitting here going, I am an author and it is awesome. And, you know, no, I mean, you still are staying humble. You are still intimate with God. But sometimes we take those gifts and we let it go to our head.
Yes. And what if God says, okay, I'm done with you doing this thing now.
Yeah.
It's time to move on to the next thing. And we can cling to that calling or whatever it is. Lord, I wanted to write 5 more books. And he says, no, we're done with the books now. I want you to go over here and do that. And I'm clinging to this. Then that's a problem, because I'm not clinging to God. So yeah, we that whole dreams and calling thing, that's another thing with social media. I think we just grab hold. We see all that's possible out there and we start running and wanting to strive for it. And we're clinging to that thing, and God may not be in it.
Yeah, unfortunately, but he needs to be in it. So,
yes.
So those who are listening right now, Kim, and they're saying, okay, I have a relationship with God, but I want to go even deeper with him. What would be their next step?
I think their next step, oftentimes, and this is just from conversations I have with people, people aren't spending that much time in their Bibles. Mm. I think that's one of the hardest things for people to make time for. I just actually saw a Barna statistic this week that said there was some very small percentage of Christians in the time they spend in their Bible and the biblical, I think it said less than 10% have a biblical worldview. And it was another percentage as small of people who read their Bibles. So that's a problem. And these are of Christians. So these are people who have a professed relationship with the Lord, but no biblical worldview and not in their Bible. So the two go hand in hand. I think, if you have a relationship with the Lord and you're saying, I want to go deeper, usually the first piece is open your Bible and spend some concentrated time. I know this is not going to be popular.
That's okay.
not picking up a devotional or other book, but the Bible. Mm. Because now, you know, I'll pick up the Bible before you pick up anything I've written. That's what I tell people. When I say Bible, I mean Bible. Like, pick up the Bible. Yes. Because you don't want to read what I'm saying about the Bible or anybody else. You want to know what the Bible says for yourself. That's part of having that personal relationship, is to open it and see what God has said in his word and allow him to speak to you through his word. There's nothing like that. It's personal. It's intimate. Not seeing it as something to check off of a to-do list, but actually, Lord, speak to me. I can't wait to see what you have to say to me through your word. Delighting yourself in that and praying to understand it, and praying that when you see it as God is going to reveal himself to me, I'm going to learn about his heart. I'm going to learn about his ways. I'm going to learn who he is as I open this Bible. It's an exciting time. Mm-hmm.
And you make it very exciting, Kim. I mean, your heart, your love for Christ just shines through. And thank you so much for sharing it and taking time really to write the book. Of course, you all will want to pick up your own copy, Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God. It is a great tool, actually, to maybe question where you are in your relationship mm-hmm. with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we need those reminders. You know, we've got report cards that come out with our children all the time, right? They go to school,
yeah.
whether they're homeschooled or not. I mean, because I know you homeschooled yes. children mm-hmm. At a point in your lifetime, and so did I. And, you know, but we all have to have these checks and balances.
Yes.
And we need to go That's through, right. and in certain seasons, maybe we get a little off, and we need to mm-hmm. kind of rein it back in and say, okay, mm-hmm. I need to make some of these choices. A new season, we're in spring, going to be moving into summer. Mm-hmm. What does your study of the Bible look like, you know,
yes.
for that and setting it
yes.
up? So thank you so much for really kind of bringing this to light, you know, for people to talk about. And mm-hmm. I think it's really important because God wants that intimacy.
Yes, he does.
You know, he desires yeah. that of us. Well, I got to ask you this question. When you're okay. talking about intimacy,
okay,
what would you say for you personally, as you wrote the book Cling, was something that kind of jumped off of the page for you as you began to research and dig? What was something personally, you know, that you feel comfortable sharing that God may have said, hey, Kim, pay attention here?
I think the beginning part, because when I submitted the initial proposal, I didn't have that in there.
Oh.
And I don't know. I can't even remember where I was going to start, but
thank goodness God knew.
You have to put together the proposal and you have to write out your first couple chapters and then you outline the rest. I did not have Created to Cling or Recreated to Cling in that proposal. And when I sat down to actually begin writing the book and looking at my proposal and what I had said, I said, it was like that. Like you said, hey, Kim, no, you need to go back, go back to the foundation mm-hmm. because, and I'm thankful to God because now people are telling me that they feel that unbelievers and believers alike can read the book because if you don't know the Lord, you get the gospel.
Yes.
In the first couple of chapters. And then if you know the Lord, you're still looking at it differently and understanding how you were created as it relates to intimacy with God. So thank you, Lord, for tapping me on the shoulder. But that was definitely that. I would say that it happened throughout the writing, but that was definitely one because I hadn't even put that in the proposal.
Well, that's awesome because you do wonder, you know, as the author, you went through all of this and you had to have learned a few things along the way.
Oh,
so,
yes.
you know, thank you for sharing that because that's really important. Well, I know people are going to want to find you, Kim. They're going to want to, how can I get in touch with her? Obviously, we'll have all the information in the show notes, but tell us, where can people connect with you?
You can find me at KimCashTate.com. And then on social media, I'm Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Kim Cash Tate. It's very simple. So I'm Kim Cash Tate everywhere.
I love simple Kim Cash Tate. Yes. Of course, we will have all of that in the show notes for you, along with the link to purchase your own copy of Cling, Choosing a Lifestyle of Intimacy with God. Kim, I truly have enjoyed our time together. But before I let our coffee chat end, because, you know, we could talk forever. We are girls and we like that. Yes. I have a question for you.
Okay.
The title of the series is My Strength is My Story.
Mm-hmm.
What has your story gifted you?
What has my story gifted me? Wow. That's a good question. You know what? I think I'm going to use the word strength, and this is why, because strength is a word that I study in an ongoing way. I love the word strength. I love, like I told you, I do inductive study with my colored pencils. I have a color for strength in my Bible. Every time I see it as it relates to God giving us strength, I color it a certain way because it's just so powerful to me. Mm-hmm. Even one verse that says God commands our strength. And so I would say my story has given me strength. Just looking at, I'm very aware of where of my weaknesses, mm-hmm. and then I'm very aware of how God's power is perfected in my weakness and how He strengthens me in that. And it never ceases to amaze me. So I would have to use yours and say my strength.
I love it. I love it. That's great. I know I never tell anybody I'm going to ask that question,
uh-huh.
because I just want them to think. And it really comes, you can yes. hear it comes from the heart. And for you, I mean, when you said it, it was just like joy. You know, there were like fireworks going off behind you. There was a party happening. It was awesome. I love it. I felt it. So that is great. Good. What a gift. Good. What a gift to for you and your story. Is there a favorite, I mean, as a study an author, not necessarily an author of the Bible, but an author as in pulling your stories from biblical references. Let's share with us one of your favorite Bible verses. Or do you have even one?
I have a lot of favorite. My favorite right now uh-huh. is 1 Corinthians 15:58, which is be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I love that. That's what's been my favorite for probably going on a couple of years now. Mm. So probably because just the season I'm in and with my kids going to college, it's just, I'm thinking seasons a lot now. And just that whole notion of being steadfast throughout the seasons of life and being immovable, not being thrown by the trials that come into my life or whatever's happening around me, mm-hmm. but to just keep abounding. I just love that steadfast, immovable, and abounding. I just love it. So that's my favorite verse right now.
That's awesome. I love it too. And I just want to personally thank you for your book. I know for me, I was highlighting it for yes, information for our interview mm-hmm. to chat with you, but I also was highlighting it for personal reasons. And I do make it a point to read the books of the authors that I interview. And this one touched me personally. So thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. And you know, for opening, if nothing else, shedding the light on some things that people just don't want to talk about anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate to say it, but we have become almost closet Christians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. and it's like when we're kind of in our comfort zone, we know that people aren't going to say bad things about us if I mention
yes.
Christian, you know?
Yes.
And I think, you know, you've kind of put it out there that, you know what? God created us to cling.
Mm-hmm.
That intimacy, that is to be with Him. And that means sometimes we got to talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. You can't not talk about it.
That's right. He's too awesome not to talk about.
Yes, he's too awesome not to talk about.
Well, I hope when you are writing your next book that you will be excited to come back on, because I would love to have you back on, definitely.
Absolutely.
Here.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome. Thank you so much, Christiane.
Thank you, Kim.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.